Hey guys, Ryan here from Fierce Marriage. I just wanted to take a quick second and say thank you to all of you, our amazing listeners. So far, the response to our first episode was incredible, and for us, it's extremely encouraging. We even spent a few days in the top 10 of our category on iTunes, which is very exciting. There are literally thousands of podcasts, and yet you are choosing to listen to us, so thank you. And in return, we hope to continue creating gospel-centered resources that will help strengthen your marriage. So with that, here's episode 2. Take care, guys.
Welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast, where we believe that marriage takes a fierce tenacity that never gives up and refuses to give in.
Here we'll share openly and honestly about all things marriage.
Sex.
Communication.
Finances.
Priorities.
Purpose.
And everything in between.
Laugh, ponder, and join in on candid gospel-centered conversations. This is Fierce Marriage. Hey everybody, welcome to Fierce Marriage Podcast.
Welcome, episode 2.
Number 2. We're so happy to have you guys, and we are excited to be doing another podcast. This has actually been really fun for us and probably good for our marriage.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like I said in our last episode, it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. I didn't think it was going to be as fun as it is.
Thank you.
It's just
kidding.
What I love about it is like almost like we're just talking to each other and
we're having quality conversation that's uninterrupted.
It is.
It's good things, good times.
It is. So as we like to do, we're going to open up with our highs and lows for the past week or the past few days. So I brought it up first. So Selena, you get to answer.
No,
first.
I did first last time. Your highs, your lows.
Okay.
We could start with lows.
My low for the past week was probably, you know what, it's kind of a general low. I feel like I've had a really hard time focusing this week. Just I'll sit down and try to get some stuff done, and there's just, if you've ever been so overwhelmed, it's like you're drinking from a fire hose and I can't seem to get on top of it, and it's like I just want to give up. There's just too much to do, and so I don't know. I haven't figured it out quite yet. It's nice to have to record this, because it's like you just sit down and you can't like get distracted. You have to do it. So that's nice, but that's not how the rest of my week has been.
I'm sorry, babe. That's hard. Yeah. That's really hard.
First world problems, I guess. All right. What's your low?
My low is probably my neck and my back kind of went out a little bit.
Oh, that's right.
I reached for something weird and all the muscles started tightening, and then it just makes picking kids up and being alive kind of painful. So that's a little bit of a low, but it's getting better. So
I'll give you a master massage later.
Okay. Thank you.
The crab hands.
That's not the right one. My high is that the sunshine's been out. We have a really hot day, actually. Hot for us. It's 80. So that is a hot day.
Yeah.
And wow. Sunshine means kids can go outside. We can be outside. We like to be outside as much as possible. So that's my high.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What's your high?
Yeah. My high has... actually, last night, I got to hang out with a close friend of mine, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. He's just a brother in Christ, and we got to, just kind of talk. It's not something that I do enough of, and, I just really value those brothers and the guys that you can just, be honest with and open with. You can laugh hard with them.
Yeah, he's in our community group from church, which is kind of fun.
So the funny thing is, we tried to go to this place. It's kind of this swanky sort of like hipster, like hangout, right? In our town. And I'm not like big on those scenes. They kind of frustrate me, because I never really fit the bill. Anyway, so I go in there. I got there early. Jake was running late because of, just putting the kids to sleep. I got there late and it was like packed, and I immediately felt so awkward. There's all these dudes and like these dudes and dudettes.
Be nice.
They're just in like their total, like, I'm cooler than you garb. With like really cool haircuts, like really weird, facial piercings and stuff like that. And it's in a bit of a rougher part of the town. So I get it. Anyway, I go in and I'm like kind of put out by it.
And Jake was late, so I was sitting there really awkwardly, like I was like a wallflower, and like everybody was looking at me like I was a weirdo. I'm wearing like these cargo shorts and like a and like a long sleeve t-shirt. Anyway, I hung out there long enough. Jake gets there and he's like, "All right, well," and I said, "Do you want to go somewhere else? This feels crowded. I've been sitting here for like 15 minutes and nobody's even come like ask what I wanted." And so we got up and went to this really this truly dive bar. It was called Parkies, and it that was a lot of fun because, man, these are the people that are just like off the beaten path, truly off the beaten path. And I say dive bar. It was just like a little it's a community hangout, basically, with a jukebox and some micro beers and whatnot. Micro brews, I should say. Yeah, so anyway, that's a lot of fun. And we got a huge kick out of it. And I'll probably go there before I go to the other place now. So
a little more easygoing.
Anyway. All right. So for today, we are going to be covering kind of a sensitive topic, but we're just going to, I think, bite off a little piece of it so that we don't overdo it and try to tackle too much at once. But it has to do with intimacy, intimacy and sex.
And we'll obviously do more podcasts about this. For sure. This is just kind of a little part of it.
Yeah. So today we're actually going to answer a question we received from a reader / listener. And the question, there's actually two questions here. They're kind of intertwined. The first one, so they're two different readers, but the questions are similar. They were, what should I do if my husband and I don't desire sex in the same way or in the same frequency? And the second question is, how can we be intimate without feeling obligated?
Really good questions.
Yeah.
Really good questions.
Yeah. So, Selena, what do you think?
Excuse me.
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
What should I do if my husband and I don't desire sex kind of the same, at the same frequency? I think that can just be like in general, if husbands or wives, there's different desire levels, I believe. I mean, if we can be honest, I think generally speaking, you desire it more than I do.
I think that's honest.
Kind of how you're made, you know, how God designed you and how we're created. But for me, I guess that just gives me an opportunity to be selfless in my love for you and to be generous and giving of myself, you know, kind of body and soul. And do I always want to? No. You know, after a long day with hard children sometimes and just physically I'm tired. I think we as wives and moms can all attest to that. It's hard to be like, all right, let's get sexy and do this. you know, it sometimes comes at a higher price than we want
to
pay.
And that used to be a big point of contention for us.
Yeah. Because it's been a journey getting to.
Well, yeah, and even before we had kids, that was the case.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of times when you just have a long day, whether you're working or doing whatever.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is give of yourself.
Yeah.
Fully.
Especially if you're not like in the mood.
Right.
Right. If you're not feeling it or you're not, you know.
Yeah.
And so to have this other person basically say like, give me that. It's really off-putting because you don't, you feel like you have to like, and so there has to be some middle ground in a marriage to where you are on the same page.
Right.
And you're communicating about it. And a lot of our early frustration around the idea of what I'll call the asymmetrical desire for sex, basically when one side wants it more than the other, or one side's more averse to it than the other. A lot of our early issues around that topic were because we didn't really talk about it in a way that was constructive to where we could get on the same page. So
I think we were more wanting to be heard rather than hearing each other. You know, I was like, well, this is how I feel and this is what I want. And I just wanted you to hear it. I didn't want to hear what you had to say necessarily.
And then I also
back.
Just wanted you just to know, like, hey, this is, I'm not asking for, you know, of the world, or at least I didn't think I was. But in reality, you felt like I was because I was just basically being, you know, I wasn't being demanding. I wasn't like,
no,
like, give me, you know, I wasn't, but at the same time,
it seems like every time you asked, it was like, didn't we just do it? Like,
it's been 5 days, it's, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so that's funny. So I think the key to that is having an honest conversation around it. But before we do that, I think it's important to understand, at least from a really basic foundational level, what the role that sex is supposed to play
right
in a marriage according to God's design.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a huge topic, but I just,
but that's really helped facilitate my perspective as far as like being selfless and an opportunity to love you.
Well, and it's also facilitated my perspective and becoming more selfless and like asking and not just thinking, okay, physiologically I want this, so I'm going to ask for it, but really thinking, okay, where is my wife? I can be more selfless
into consideration
too. Right. It's always generous toward each other. Yeah. It comes from this understanding of where sex is supposed to stand, mm-hmm. you know, in the big picture. So let's just look at 1 Corinthians 7:5. It says, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What I don't want to do, I don't want to use this verse as a stick to beat people over the head with, right?
Right.
And I've unfortunately seen a lot of husbands and wives basically say, like, give me sex because now you're depriving me and we did not agree to this.
Right.
So you have to give it to me.
And you have the whole submission issues kind of creeping in just a little bit.
And that's manipulation, it's abuse, and it's twisting God's word for your own for your own desire. And that's not what Paul was getting at here. What he was getting at here is,
if you look at the context of
it. If you look at the context and you look up into the earlier part of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. So how he opened the first chapter is he said, now concerning the matters about which you wrote. So he's quoting this back to them. He said, it is good. They said to him, it's good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. And verse 2 says, but because of the temptation of sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So this is Corinth, right? So without getting into a huge exposition of it, Corinth is this, it's a port city in the middle of like modern day Greece. And it's right on the edge of two, or it's right between two big pieces of land. And it's on like this isthmus of land right between them. So what that meant for the time is it was a thriving metropolis.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trade.
A lot of culture.
A lot of culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think of just like New York City, what that looks like from a busyness standpoint, from a worldliness standpoint, like that's what Corinth was on a smaller scale for sure. But that's how it felt. So when they're writing about sex, you have, they're asking Paul, like, it's better for guys to abstain, right? It's better for men to not have sex with women. And later on in the chapter says, yes, however, if it's a temptation, it's good. Like, get married so you can enjoy sex within the boundary God has designed and then enjoy it. You don't have to abstain.
Right.
If you feel it's better for you to get married than to burn with passion, is what he said at one point.
Because this is asceticism, right? That's what you were...
Right, right. So they were leaning toward like the idea of asceticism, and what asceticism is this this thought that, you know, you should refuse all indulgence in the name of like spiritual propriety, right? It's good to not indulge in any pleasure of the flesh. And the more you withhold it, the holier you are. And Paul is basically saying, like, that's not the case.
Right.
Sex is here as a gift, as long as it's used in the right context, and as long as you're in agreement with your spouse.
Right.
And so when he talks about not withholding from each other, that's what he's saying is what he's trying to do is to get them on the same page on the purpose of what it is. And the purpose in this chapter, in this context, is to work together toward the common goal of becoming more holy, more righteous, more, you know, more accurate depictions, reflections of Christ. Right. So, so that's where this is coming from. It's not a verse that you beat your spouse over the head with.
Right.
Whenever you're feeling frisky. That's not the purpose of this verse. The verse is to remind us that we are to use sex as a tool to, and we're supposed to communicate about sex so that we can be unified in our pursuit of righteousness, whether that's fasting for a time from it, so we can pray and so we can focus on spiritual nourishment, spiritual growth. And it's being generous with it toward each other so that it's not a huge distraction.
Right, right.
Or it's not a huge temptation. I know for me, that's one of the biggest things I say to Selena. It's like, after, like, it's if it's been, like, you know, a period of time that's longer than usual for us, which our average is, like, every 2 or 3 days.
Right.
Just to be totally transparent. So say it's been, like, 4 or 5 days. I start to, like, it's really hard to focus for me.
Yeah.
And temptation becomes a huge, I shouldn't say huge. It just becomes a bigger, more obvious stumbling block.
Right.
And I spend all day on my computer and it's like, I'm terrified, frankly, that I'm going to...
You spend all day working on your computer, yes. And there's a lot of exposure and potential.
Right. And even if you're not looking for temptation on the internet,
things just
it's
pop
there.
Up. Right. Yeah, and exposure, yeah.
And so I'm not... I have to be really sensitive not to be like, if you don't give me sex, you're going to cause me to sin.
Right.
That's manipulation. But right. What I can say is, hey, this is really hard for me. Like, it's difficult. And...
You're struggling.
If we can't do this thing, then let's pray together, because yeah. it's becoming more of a challenge for me.
Right. And as a wife, I can lovingly close those doors on temptation and close those doors on exposure, you know, and we are each other's accountability partners, and we ask each other kind of the hard questions without prying, but with caring, with our souls really just being kind of transparent and open with each other. And so I know he's struggling. We've been married for, 14 years, going on 15. And wives, you just start getting that sense. You just start knowing, you know, when it's been too long, and you know, and honestly, on my side, it things do get harder. Like, they get more difficult as far as like communication. They get more difficult. I mean, women have sexual frustration just as well. I mean, I don't think it shows up quite as much. Well, at least for us. But there's this longing that I feel like God has designed in us to want to be together, and in physically and spiritually and just all of the ways. So it's not this like checklist thing to do, with sometimes it feels like that initially, but like when you actually are in the moment and you give yourself over and you just are loving your husband and giving of yourself, there's a beautiful freedom in that, and that it's the same person. There's no fear. There's no insecurity. There's just confidence and beauty and
true.
All of the things that you yeah. want to have so within that, those boundaries is thriving.
So the question then yeah. is, okay, how do we gain agreement on this topic?
Yes.
The verse says, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. So to me, that implies that if you're abstaining, it's by agreement, but if you're not abstaining, it's also by agreement,
mm-hmm.
right? So if that's, I think, the first step is having a very clear understanding of what it means for you and your husband or you and your wife to not be abstaining from sex. Sex is a normal, healthy part of every marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a conversation about what normal and healthy looks like for you. For us, we had this conversation about 5 years back where you said, okay, I think 2 to 3 days in between.
Mm-hmm.
Our intimacy is about where we're healthy, both right. for our emotions, for, you know, the physical aspect of it. And so having that conversation is the first step. The next step, I think, is figuring out and calibrating your expectations. Right.
Right.
So the analogy we always use, if you've read our blog, I think you'll probably be familiar with this, but I always think about it like it's there's a spectrum, right? There's a spectrum of sex. And
right.
there's some that's really like deep, intense, more of like
involved,
more involved, much more verbose in yeah. terms of like what's being said and how long it takes to say those things, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
And then there's really fast, like
functional sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you look at like a spectrum, you've got the really like functional and the very, like impractical.
Yeah. And you,
passionate
the
sex.
Post is called The Spectrum of Sex.
Yes.
If you want to go look it up.
Yeah. If you go on our, if you go to fiercemarriage.com okay. and just search for The Spectrum of Sex or just search for sex, you'll find it in there.
Right. And
so we had a conversation early yes. on or about, you know, not early on, not early enough, frankly, but about 5 years ago, about like, what does this look like for us? What should our expectations be? And in general, what does it look like to have fast, functional sex? What does it look like to have more drawn out sex? And how often do those things need to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And so before...
children.
I wasn't going to go there. I was going to say, but before we decide, okay, we need to be close. We need to be intimate. And we only have so many minutes, right? We can say, okay, Selena will say, hey, you've got 10 minutes. You've got 30 seconds.
No.
And so we just know, okay, there's no room for extra.
This is a little functional.
It's
this
very
is
functional.
Kind of fun, like just kind of crazy and yep. fast and go for it.
Yep. And then there's other ones where we like, and I've said this to you, where we're like, hey, I don't want this just to be some like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am thing. Let's try to make this more romantic.
Right.
More involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set aside that time. Nowadays, that means like it takes a lot of a lot of extra planning and a lot of moving the pieces around to make sure our kids are either gone or asleep. And then we have enough time, but that takes a lot more work. So anyway, how has that helped you? So, I mean,
I think it's definitely provided some freedom mentally and spiritually. It's just like, okay, like these are the parameters on today. I can meet this. Yes. Like, let's do this. The more involved stuff, I feel like sometimes just because of the season of our life, I think we operate on the more functional. And so when the opportunities come for more like involved, intense times, you know, it takes a little bit more, I think, gearing up mentally for me to just put the distractions aside and to focus on you and where I'm at and where we're at in life. And just being together, being present, I think is probably just getting to that agreement. Okay, we're present, we're here. Okay, like just that's where the work happens. And then just being with you is amazing, of course. You know, that's a great time. But I think for me, and I don't know if most wives are like this, I feel just getting to that point is probably the hardest obstacle to get through.
Right. And so from a husband's perspective, I want to reiterate, as a husband, your goal is to always communicate to your wife in love, and whether how you're saying things or how you're asking for things or even how you're carrying yourself in the bedroom. You never want to steamroll your wife, because if she feels steamrolled because you're just demanding something and you're taking what you want from her, that's not something that can be done in love. And I think it goes against how we're called to love our wives according to, you know, how Christ has loved the church.
Right. Right? There's a selflessness to it.
Right.
You know, women inviting husbands to enjoy themselves or,
right.
you know.
So like Selena said early on, she had her neck is out. Something happened.
To which no trapeze sex.
No what? No trapeze sex. Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Or, by the way, Fierce Marriage is going on with a line of trapeze implements. Yeah. But we had talked about it, I think, yesterday, and I was like, I didn't ask because I know that you were hurting.
Yeah.
I know that you had a hard day. I'm not going to come and like pile one more thing on top of your list of things to do today.
Which is encouraging to me and is motivating to me, frankly, to want to give.
And then the other time you said we were getting frisky. And Selena said, hey, you know, I'm doing this because I love you. Right. And it's not. You just reminded me that it was like, for you, it was an expression of love, just
a sacrifice.
And you were very sweet about how you reminded me of that. And it was really good to remember that. And it made me feel very loved. And it wasn't like this.
I wasn't throwing it in your face. I was trying to like,
show
you my love deeper. Like, it's not just me showing up here, but all these things that could be happening at this time or should be happening, like, you know, everything that I have to do or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are all stopping because I'm making you a priority, and I want to love you because I know this speaks volumes to you.
Which, when you said it, it became crystal clear that that's what you were doing.
Right.
And I just needed the reminder, and it was really good to hear. I felt very loved.
Yeah. Sometimes we just assume that each other knows that, and it's never assume.
Yeah. Yeah. So all of this has the caveat of, you know, if you have a history of sexual pain, somehow, whether it's dealing with pornography addiction, any unfaithfulness,
maybe there was
any
abuse.
Sort of sexual abuse, whether it's, you know, before or during your marriage, anything like that, then obviously you have a very different lens about sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that you hear our hearts, and that's not just, we're not trying to prescribe some catch-all fix for every marriage, but I think in general, these principles will hold true, assuming there's a good amount of psychological, emotional health there.
Right.
If you're not in a good place, if you're not in a healthy place, either yourself or in your marriage, then sex will just be an amplification of that.
Right.
So it's critical that you go and get
professional counsel,
good counsel. Godly counsel, I think, is the first prerequisite. Yeah. It's somebody who cares about what God's word says.
Right.
And then somebody who knows you.
Yeah.
And then somebody who knows just how the human mind and psyche works.
Right.
Being a psychologist or a therapist or whatever.
Right.
So that's the big caveat. So with that, we do have a couples challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know, I think for this week's challenge, if you're listening to this, we're going to encourage you to talk to your spouse, your husband or your wife about your spectrum of sex.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to go read it. It's a quick read. You wrote it really well.
The blog post.
Yeah, the blog post. Okay. I think you guys should. Both of you should say, hey, let's read this and talk about it.
It'll be in the show notes, too, for this podcast, for this episode. But yeah, go read that and then have a good candid conversation with your husband or your
wife. What you liked about the post, what you didn't like maybe, what it means to not deprive each other. What does that look like in your marriage?
Yep. That's really good. And then if you can, try to come up with at least somewhat of an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
For us, just discovering the frequency that was healthy for us was huge.
Right.
It calibrated our expectations. At one point, before we had kids, we actually had a schedule where, you know, we were going to do... It wasn't rigid, but in general, it was like we knew that Tuesdays and Fridays were like, if we hadn't done it, that's a good time to like
perk our
ears up.
And, yeah.
So maybe talk about that. Just have a real candid conversation and create a plan if you can.
Absolutely.
All right. So next up, we are
rapid fire questions. Finally, I had answer them last time and
now it's my turn.
It's your turn
to answer. So yeah, those are coming up, but stay tuned and we'll be right back. All right, well, this week's episode of the Fierce Marriage Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Datebox.
Woo, Datebox.
Yeah, they are friends of ours. They're
really
not just paying
friends.
Us to be their friends. Brett Kolomijic is the founder, and he is an amazing thinker, but he came up with this idea a few years back when we were like pretty new to the blogging game. Mm-hmm. He said he wondered what I thought. I said, that sounds great. Keep me posted. And he went and did the whole like Silicon Valley get funders and lots of money, and he funded this thing. Now has this incredible business called Datebox.
Yeah.
And what they do is they send out these monthly themed boxes to people that subscribe to their service, and they are over the top. Like usually I think the box cost is around $30-35 per month
for the subscribers.
There's also a cheaper like digital options like $8.
But there's a ton of stuff in there. Like,
but the value's got to be like close to $50 to $100.
Quality stuff. Yeah. Stuff you'll reuse.
I think last week we mentioned that one of our favorite boxes was
the
coffee roasting experience.
Yes.
Well, I forgot to mention that Selena actually bought me a burr grinder for like
a gift
or something. And it was like you bought it on Amazon. It was really nice. It came in this really nice package.
Yeah.
And I had been using that, and then I got this box from Brett at Datebox, and it had the exact same burr grinder in there.
Yeah.
And it was a really high quality thing. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff that you get in these date boxes.
Yeah. They're curated.
Besides just the stuff, the experience of hanging out together is huge.
Yeah, they give you a playlist. They give you convo topics. There's a whole little booklet, a whole just setting the whole mood, really.
Well, like if I said to Selena, hey, we're going to go on a date night tonight. That in my head, I'm thinking I'll take you to a nice restaurant. We'll go hang out
at the
waterfront. And you know, we'll probably spend like $100.
Yeah.
Maybe less if we go cheap on the dinner.
At the most, yeah.
But the experience is almost always going to be some, you know, it's always fun because we're together, but it's, if you do that
a lot,
it can get
pretty expected and typical.
Yeah. It can get pretty forgettable, frankly. Yeah. And so these date box, at least once a month, I know we're going to have something that's unique and unforgettable.
Yeah.
So anyway, if that sounds fun to you, we encourage you to check it out. Like I said, they're friends of ours. By subscribing, you do support us. But also, you're going to build intimacy in your marriage and closeness.
It's super creative.
Yeah, it's very creative. So if you're interested in that, just go to fiercemarriage.com/datebox. What that does is it'll just redirect you to their website, and it'll apply the code for a free month.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you don't even have to sign up for multiple months. You can just try 1 month.
Right.
No commitment. You pay $5 for shipping, and you get a free box whenever the next
box
ships.
Very cool. Very cool.
So check that out. Go to fiercemarriage.com/datebox.
Awesome.
And we hope it blesses you.
Awesome.
All right.
All right. Now rapid fire question. It's your turn.
This one. Thank you. We've run out of time.
No.
We should probably just...
No. Okay, I'll start you off easy. Since you're such a music guy, favorite band and why? You can only have one.
Oh, man.
Told you. It's hard.
Well, it's actually not really a band.
Oh. Okay, well, music. No, it has to be specific. You can't just pick like a genre.
It's really hard.
It's really hard for him. I knew it would be.
I'm gonna say Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Because he's got a lot to choose from. Mm-hmm. He's got some slow stuff, some really rockin' stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna do a caveat. You can't,
there's no caveats.
That's my secular option.
So it's just you.
I'm like a blues fan, so there's that.
All right, this one's kind of a fun one. If you could be any animal, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's easy. I'd be a bald eagle.
Really? I thought you'd pick something in the water.
Because America.
You're like, stop.
No. Because it'd be fun to be able to swim, but like it's pretty dark. Like you get down like below 60 feet and you can't really see anything.
Unless you're...
When you can fly...
Can see everything.
Nothing flies higher than a bald eagle.
Okay. So, I love eagles. You know I'm an eagle fan.
That's actually the reason.
No.
I just want you to love me.
Stop.
Love me!
And I told you from the last episode, because you asked me what was one of the like kind of bad things I did, the naughty things I did. Not naughty as in...
You stealer.
But bad. Breaking the rules. So you have quite the colorful past.
It's not that colorful.
Compared to me, it is.
Compared to you, it's very colorful. Gosh.
I know.
The worst thing I ever did, you know, Selena, we're all sinners. And we've all just fallen short.
This is not questioning your sinful nature. This is talking about one of those moments.
Okay, well, I think probably one of the most, I'll just say underhanded. Like, I stole a lot of stuff as a kid. I smoked a lot of things. And I'm not proud of it.
As a kid, like 14 and under, 15 and...
It was like teenage years, yeah. Yeah,
those young teenage years.
Selena, you shouldn't have asked me this question,
zoo,
I'm telling
what
you.
What about your zoo nights with guys, your zoo...
Okay, I was going to share a really bad story, but I've got a lot of stories, but I mean, I don't want to lose listeners this early on. Just know that God's grace is huge in our lives, in my life. I'm thankful that this is all in my past. But I'm going to share a more tame story. So one time in high school, we used to hang out. We had a really close group of football guys. We played together. And we used to, every weekend, we were just like doing our version of partying. This is after all of the really colorful partying that we did. And that just meant we just hung out and like swam in this guy's pool. And
There was no drinking involved.
There was no drinking.
It was just
like
yeah.
Anyway, so we got into this like tradition where we would haze each other whenever something good happened to anyone. I don't know if it was like the
like birthdays or
yeah, like oh good, it's your birthday. Let's get him. You know? We would just tackle him, and it escalated right, it got pretty scary at some points. Never unsafe, but a little unsafe. Anyway, we ended up taking my friend Nathan, he's still actually one of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
He went to like state for wrestling or something. So we said, hey, let's celebrate. Let's go out and haze Nathan. So we went and kidnapped him.
Which took a lot of you.
Which he's very strong. So it took a lot of us. And we ended up tackling him. We tied him to the bed of a truck and we drove through a car wash. This was like, I don't know when it was. It had to be somewhere between November and like February.
It was cold in Washington.
And we drove around. You know, he was wet. And then, of course, we ended with, you know, something like cake and chips or something. I don't know. Anyway.
The bigger the haze, the more loved you felt, right?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
It usually
pretty
involved
good.
A lot of, yeah.
Awesome.
A lot of minor pain, but yeah.
On that note. Let's move on to our letters and stories that we've been getting. This is something new. Well, it's new to us because it's new to our podcast, but this is where people write in and share their love for each other and their appreciation for each
yeah.
other. Where do we do this at?
Oh yeah. Okay. So a little while ago, we set up this thing on our website where people can submit letters to their spouse, and then they could give us permission to read them.
Right.
And so this letter that we have here is from Valerie to her husband, Eddie.
She said, instead of trying to tell you how much I love you, which is nearly impossible, I just want to show you a few ways in which I know we are meant to be together forever. There may be some days that I feel like I don't like you very much, but I always love you very much. When we are apart, I physically feel like a part of me is missing. I'm so blessed to know that I will be spending my life with you. Thank you for becoming a man that fears the Lord, a great husband, and a good friend. I love you always.
That's awesome.
That's so sweet. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah, so I love that. I love that she acknowledged that he is becoming a man that fears the Lord.
So good.
I think we talked about it last episode about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. And I think that's what it looks like for a man to mature.
Yeah.
And it's noticeable.
Yeah.
So that's two things are happening. I love that the man is taking the initiative and doing that. And because a lot of times we hear from wives who would love for their husbands to to kind of get on board with, you know, who God has called them to be. And there's a lot of frustration there. So it's really refreshing to hear that Eddie's doing that. But then it's really the second thing that's happening there is that Valerie is noticing it.
Yeah.
And she's acknowledging it, which is really encouraging.
It's awesome.
So yeah, if you want to, if you have a letter, a story, or a question, all you got to do is go to fiercemarriage.com/podcast. There's a bunch of stuff there. There's going to be show notes for today's, you know, episode. There's all kinds of other stuff. Namely, there's links to write a letter and submit it, and or to share your story. There's also a link to call in, which is the other thing that we're going to do. We don't have a voicemail for you today, but we'd love for you to call in and leave a voicemail if that works for you. If you're in your car listening to this, you could just call that phone number and we will pick it up and we will answer your question or share your story. The number for that is 971-333-1120. That's 971-333-1120.
We have a personal greeting now.
Yeah, I fixed it. I figured it out. Yeah, so we do have it
used no to more be, Googler.
it was Google's canned greeting, but now it's actually it's me currently. It's not great, but it's there. So yeah, we'd love for you to call that again. It's 971-333-1120. If you're at your desk or somewhere with your phone or a computer, just go to fiercemarriage.com/podcast, and you can find everything you need right there. All right, so I think that's about it. I do want to tell, we do want to share about our latest pair of devotionals that we wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called The 31-Day Pursuit, and there's two books. It's Husband in Pursuit and Wife in Pursuit, and basically it's
31 You wrote the days. Husband in Pursuit, yes. I wrote the Wife in Pursuit, just in case anybody doesn't know that.
You can find them on Amazon. You can also just go to 31daypursuit.com to learn more. The whole point is to learn exactly how you're pursued by Christ and then draw lines from that gospel message to how you pursue your spouse in light of how you're loved, right? And it was a transformational journey for us writing it. Just anytime you dive into how you're pursued by Jesus and then tangible ways to show, to apply that source of love to how you love your spouse, I think is going to help you out. So yeah, 31daypursuit.com. You can learn more there.
Yeah, they're really fun books. There's just a lot of, you know, some personal stories about us, but also just how God's connected the dots for us. There's cool field notes place to kind of put your own thoughts down, prayer section, and also the what you can do. So an action, a pursuit action.
Yeah, you'll find you'll want to write
discover all of this. Yeah. And we want you to mess it up, make it yours, and enjoy it. So praying for everybody on that.
All right, so if you've enjoyed this show, we would really appreciate it if you could rate us on whatever podcasting app you choose to use. The internet thrives on ratings from people just like you. It takes like 30 seconds. Just go ahead and subscribe to us and leave a review. Just a sentence or two will work perfectly. Then if you really enjoyed it, we'd love it if you share it with somebody.
Yeah.
Tell somebody who you think might need some help in their marriage or maybe just some fun application of the gospel to modern marriage. Go ahead and share it with us. Share this with somebody you think needs to hear. Share it with
us. We need to hear it too. Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I think this episode is in the can. What do you think, Sel?
I think it's in the can. Hopefully we don't sound like we're in a can.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with our really learning curve as we figure out the whole can thing. And let's close in prayer and then we'll see you next week. All right, Selena, go for it.
God, thank you so much for this time and this day. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak about your word and how it's transformed our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to change the hearts that are listening. Yeah. God, that you would, you know fully where each of us is, and out of your loving kindness, you lead us closer to you, Father. And I pray for every heart and every mind and every ears, that all the ears that are listening, God, that your voice would be the prevalent voice that they hear and they take away this. Mm-hmm. I pray for all the marriages struggling with sexual intimacy, God. I feel like we all kind of have those moments of struggle, and I pray that you would help clarify the path to agreement. Help us to rise up and step into those roles that you've given us, trusting that there is joy and there is beauty and there is goodness that can only come from you, that will continue to bind us together as husband and wife, that will draw us closer to you and ultimately bring glory to you. We love you, God, and thank you for every single listener, and pray blessings and goodness over their lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Thank you again for listening.
Yeah.
If you want anything that we mentioned in this episode, in terms of information, resources, or to learn more about our sponsored date box, just go to fiercemarriage.com/podcast.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about next week what we're going to talk about?
Yes. Next week.
We are going to talk about priorities, because a lot of people have been writing in saying, how do we keep our marriage a priority when everything is happening in our lives? All the things. We all know how this goes.
Yep.
All the things.
Everybody's busy, and busy is no longer cool.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to simplify their lives, and I think we can hopefully help with that.
We can share what we've learned, how God's taught us to get our priorities.
So tune in next week for the Fierce Marriage Podcast, episode 3.
Thanks for listening.
All right, take care, guys.
Bye.